Friday, but they were trapped thanks to that big snowstorm. You're listening to ABC News.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Did you know that most driving qualifies as severe driving? That's right. I'm talking about short trips and driving in stop-and-go traffic. That's why you need to change your oil every 3,000 miles. Now, for a limited time at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX oil and a Fram oil filter for just $11.99. Changing your oil every 3,000 miles is a must to keep your car running smoothly. So head to AutoZone now. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French. But when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le riz.
Discover the world's fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. It's the amazing Rosetta Stone software, and you can try it free. Request a free demo CD-ROM by calling 1-800-336-1989. There's no tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Call 1-800-336-1989. 1-800-336-1989.
Israel's prime minister is ruling out peace talks with the new Palestinian government, even though the Hamas-Fatah coalition has a more moderate platform than the previous Hamas-only led government. Ehud Olmert says he still sees terror as the Palestinians' ultimate goal. ABC's Wilf Dinick in Jerusalem says it appears no amount of pressure will change his mind either.
Israel is saying that this is their problem, that if they live next door to the Palestinian people, they live next door to this Hamas-led government, which doesn't even recognize the state of Israel. So even if its closest allies in Europe and especially in the United States says, well, we recognize Hamas, the Israeli government is saying it will not change its position.
A student-teacher sex scandal may have led to the murder of the student in Tennessee. A husband accused of killing an 18-year-old boy who was allegedly having an affair with the man's wife, who was the boy's counselor. Deborah Flynn is the boy's mother. She says she was troubled by her son's relationship with the woman.
I found 13 text messages from her saying, come home, baby, I love you, you're so beautiful.
So far, the husband has been charged, not the counselor wife, which Flynn is not happy about.
I think she should be held accountable. You know, these teachers are in our school to teach our children, and they're feasting on them.
40-year-old guy in Superior, Wisconsin, showed up last week at his old high school to try and get copies of his transcripts. He was told he owed $7.95 for a missing algebra book and $5 in unpaid phys ed fees. He paid the $13, says he's just glad they didn't charge interest. This is ABC News.
You may be sitting there right now wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence in dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-500-2001. That's 1-800-500-2001. 1-800-500-2001.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
KJ News Time is 10:05. Good morning, everybody. I'm Katie Lever. Here's what's happening. More than 10,000 people crowded into the plaza in front of Oakland City Hall yesterday afternoon for the first Bay Area public appearance by Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama. Obama spoke without notes for more than 30 minutes. The Vacaville Police Department says an emergency medical technician was booked on suspicion of molesting a girl under the age of 14 at a daycare run by his estranged wife, the daycare center. He had access to the child apparently when he came to pick up other children for visitation, and he has been arrested. The Sonoma County Public Health Department is warning residents who purchased hallucinogenic mushrooms in the county not to eat the fungus, since the department has information that the so-called magic mushrooms are actually dried mushrooms that have caused severe liver illness in at least 2 people. Jim Hamm, that 70-year-old Fortuna man who was attacked by a mountain lion while hiking in the Prairie Creek Redwood State Park near Eureka in January, is healing better than anyone thought he would. Hamm was hospitalized after the January 24th attack in which his wife, Nell Hamm, hit the lion with a piece of wood, but not before Hamm received wounds that required skin graft surgery. But again, he's doing very well. Out to the roads we go with a look at traffic. Here's KGO's Chris Kidd.
Good morning again, Katie. There's an accident on the Bay Bridge, 80 eastbound, just after the toll plaza. It's 2 cars in lane 1. One of those cars lost its wheel. Vacaville accident, 80 eastbound. That's at Midway Road. The car is in the center divide. Also, a stall on the Bay Bridge, 80 eastbound, before Treasure Island. That is blocking lane 5. Watch out for a road hazard, Martinez, 680 southbound, before Marina Vista. It's a garbage can rolling around the lanes. Road hazard, Oakland, 880 southbound before Fruitvale. Watch out for a doggy. He's walking in the slow lane. Traffic advisory, San Francisco. Anti-war protest today. from noon to 5 p.m. That march begins at Justin Herman Plaza, and it runs all the way to the Civic Center. Win your share of $80,000 every Monday through Thursday through March 29th with March Money Madness, only at River Rock Casino, Sonoma County. See their Players Club for details. I'm Chris Kidd, KGO Radio News.
Thanks, Chris. Beautiful weather coming our way. Fog is clearing away around the bay. Lots of sunshine. Temperatures in the 60s and 70s. Right now in Oakland, it's 52. Livermore, 55. San Francisco is 51. And San Jose, 56. And on your radio, it's 810. News Talk 810. I'm Katie Lever, KGO Radio News.
KGO.
And it's 10:07 KGO News Talk 810 time. I'm Brian Copeland here with the second of 2 hours this Sunday morning, the 18th day of March. We are going to shift gears from our very contentious first hour. Although I do want to mention an email that I got over the break, and I wanted to know how in the heck it was that the Dukes of Hazzard stayed on for so long. And common sense. Because of Daisy Dukes and her shorts. That, of course, that's why it stayed on as long as it certainly wasn't the writing. It couldn't possibly have been the writing. How many Emmys did that show win? All right, we're going to shift gears. Another actually much more serious topic this hour. Earlier this week, I heard my guest for the hour on with Rosie Allen on the afternoon news talking about a new study that he co-authored that shows that there are many men who are suffering physical abuse from their female partners and that the domestic violence system is not serving them at all. And, in fact, the domestic violence system actually further victimizes these men. With me on the KGO Live line is Ed Dunning, who is with the Family Intervention Project and, again, is the co-author of the study. Thanks for being with us this morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Morning. All right, well, let's start with the obvious question, and that is, how common is it that there are men who are the victims of physical abuse at the hands of their female partners?
Actually, it's a lot more common than one might imagine. In fact, fairly recent research by researchers who identify themselves with a pro-feminist bias have admitted that the vast majority of all domestic violence is what is known as mutual or common couple violence. In other words, people are abusing and hitting each other about as much and about as often, regardless of gender, race, sexual orientation, yada and yada.
Well, you know what's interesting is I've tried to do this topic a couple of times over the years, and every time it comes up, you know, because of a story in the news, or, you know, remember Clara Harris who ran down her husband because he was having an affair and all these kinds of things, I'll get all these emails and phone calls from feminists who are saying that this happens maybe once in a blue moon, and what this is anti-woman propaganda in order to defend or to minimize the damage that male batterers do in this country. How would you respond to that?
Ideological propaganda. These people have an investment in the cult of victimhood. You know, there's a monetary investment. There's a psychological investment. It's just not accurate. It's not true. And the sad part about it is these advocates are hurting the very women they claim to be protecting.
In what way?
Well, by not allowing them to get the help they need. I have several female clients over the years that have gone to battered women's shelters and said, look, I need help for my own violence. And they were told, no, there, honey, it's all his fault, you don't have to worry. So they don't get the help they need, the violence escalates, and these women ended up in my batterers group. It's all preventable. Instead of blaming, we need to be healing.
All right, now tell me what it is that you found with the study, because the one statement that you made with Rosie that made me want to have you on the program is you talked about what happens when a man who is a victim of domestic violence calls one of the domestic violence hotlines or one of the shelters.
Oh, they're met with instant hostility, suspicion, accusations, questions, trying to figure out, trying to put the blame back on them. And not only that, it's they call for help, they get no help, they get referred to batterers programs.
So they're the victims, and they are referred to the programs for the actual batters.
they're calling saying they're victimized and they're asking for help in their relationship, and this is what happens to them.
All right, so what needs to change? What needs to be done, and how do we institutionally make the change?
Well, the first thing we need to do is recognize that research over the last 20 years very clearly shows that in most domestic violence cases, there is no batterer, there is no victim. There are two people behaving inappropriately towards each other. Mm-hmm. And so we need to stop the playing the blame game and try to figure out whose fault it is and start talking with these people and trying to stop the problem instead of blaming someone for the problem.
All right. Tell me about how you feel about the way that the criminal justice system and the police deal with this. And I, another reason I wanted to do this, this topic this morning, is that a buddy and I have a mutual friend who is in a situation such as this. And what's been interesting is that, you know, there are times when she hits him or hits on him or whatever, and the neighbors will call the police, and the police come, and they take him away.
Yeah.
Because they assume, because he's the man, he's taller than she is, he's bigger than she is, therefore it must be his fault. And it's there's a story in Jet Magazine, as a matter of fact, from last week. Jason Kidd is divorcing his wife. He's claiming domestic violence, and the her attorney is saying she's 5'4" and he's 6'3". That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. What could she possibly do to him? So how do you feel about the way that law enforcement and the justice system deals with this issue?
Well, on the one hand, I have to say that law enforcement and the justice system are acting on the information they know, and all the information out there says a man bad, woman good. A lot of them really don't know anybody any better because they believe this because it's the only thing they know. As far as a 5-foot woman being able to severely damage a 6-foot-4 man, that's just common sense. Everybody knows that. And the other factor people aren't considering is I've had in my batterers groups, I've had professional boxers, ex-correction officers, airborne rangers who took life in combat, and they were injured far more severely than their spouses were. Any of these men are very adept at physical violence. If they really wanted to, they could have seriously hurt these women. Why didn't they?
So what the deal is, they don't hit back, and that's what the situation is. They don't, and if they did hit back, they'd go to jail.
Well, and it's deeper than that. They don't hit back because most of these people really do love their partners, and they really do not want to hurt their partners. And they realize that if they were ever to unleash the power they have, they could do severe damage. They don't want to do that.
And you know what else is interesting to me is that the mindset of the person victimized is the same regardless of sex. You know, our buddy I was talking about a few minutes ago, you know, my friend and I tried to get him away and out of that situation, and he was ready to leave. And then he says, well, you know, we talked, and, you know, if I wouldn't do this, then she wouldn't hit me. If I, you know, it's my fault, too, because I bring it on, and if I would just, and it's the same stuff. It's the same victimization that you hear, the same rationalization that you hear from female victims.
Yes, and that's so interesting because what my work and the work of more established researchers are finding is that men and women are more alike than different in these domestic violence situations. So in the case, referring specifically to your buddy's case, this is why the Family Interventions Project came into being, to get these people the help they need. Couples counseling, separate counseling, to make give them the tools they need to stop these behaviors. I don't know about in your buddy's case. It sounds like he really loves his significant other and wants to stay with her. In those cases, they need to learn how to change their behavior, to be more loving and kind towards each other.
And that's really it all the way around, you know, no matter
what. You bet.
That's the whole point, I guess, of what it is that you're trying to do.
Yes, indeed.
All right, with me on the KGO Live line is Ed Dunning, and Ed is the co-author of what's been called a groundbreaking study of domestic violence in America, and it reveals that there are many men who are suffering from physical abuse from their partners. They live in fear of them, and they're being denied help by the domestic violence system because they are looked at as the aggressors and they're not taken seriously. So we'll take your questions and comments at 808-0810. Send email two ways. Go to kgo.com
or go to briancopeland.com. And I guess I will throw in to the mix the question, how pervasive do you personally think domestic violence is where the woman is the aggressor? Do you think, do you agree that it's more common than we think it is, or do you think it's something that, happens rarely? 808-0810 is the phone number. The KJ News Talk time is 10:17. KGO News Talk 810 time. I'm Brian Copeland here with you till 11 o'clock this morning. With me on the KGO Live line is Ed Denning of the Family Intervention Project. He is the co-author of a groundbreaking study that shows that there are many men who are suffering physical abuse from their partners, and they live in fear of them, and they're being denied help by the domestic violence system. So we're taking your questions and comments at 808-0810, and I'm also asking the question, you know, do you believe that this happens where the female partner is the aggressor more often than we think? You know, generally the stereotype is that it's the man beating the woman up, but do you think that it happens more frequently that the female is the aggressor than we have been led to believe in the past? Let's kick things off with Stacy in Monterey. Welcome to KGO with Ed Denning and Brian Copeland. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I agree in part with your guest, and especially with the whole victimology idea, but I really take exception with some of the remarks regarding law enforcement. I've been a law enforcement officer for 19 years, and listening to the comments this morning, I look back over my career, and I'm asking myself, have I really ever, you know, arrested the wrong person? And I truly don't believe that I have, But you need to understand also that the penal code very clearly instructs us law enforcement officers to make an arrest and to make an arrest of the primary aggressor.
Mm.
Women can be great instigators. I don't know if it's how we're wired. I don't know what it is, but knit, you know, and push until, you know, we get the response that maybe we weren't expecting. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying what I've seen, okay?
Well, Stacey, let me stop you for a second. I want to ask you, so law enforcement says that you're supposed to, the penal code says that you're supposed to arrest the primary aggressor. How do you make that determination? Because, you know, the story that I told is true. I can tell you another story about a guy who I know whose wife used to be violent. She's not anymore. But she's like 5'1", he's 6'5", 250 pounds, and she would hit him with stuff, you know, frying pans and, you know, the pots and pans and stuff. And the police would come and they would assume that he was the primary aggressor because he's 6'5" and she's a little thing. And so he got taken off to jail a couple of times.
Right.
So how do you make that determination?
It is not easy to determine in many cases who was the primary aggressor. So you look at the physical evidence, who has marks, what are they, where are they defensive wounds or not? You know, does he have scratch marks from her fingernails all over his face or all over his back? What are the statements? Are there any witnesses? Is there a prior history? And in your friend's case, if he's been arrested once before, that prior history is going to come up, even if it was a bad arrest. And the other thing that I want to make note of is I agree that there are many, many situations where it is a mutual combat situation. The courts tell us, the DA's office tells us, don't arrest, if you can at all help it, don't arrest both parties because we can't have mutual victims, mutual suspects, can't file the case. So law enforcement is actually tied, you know, in how do we handle this. And then there's the other thing, okay, don't arrest anybody, right? If one of them will pack up their things and go stay at a friend's for the night, worst case scenario, that person who leaves gets pissed off, comes back, and the situation escalates. Myself, personally, as an officer, I don't want to have that monkey hanging on my back, okay?
All right, let's give Ed a chance to respond. You raised a lot of really good points. Ed?
Yes, she did, and I'm glad we have a call from a female law enforcement officer because this speaks directly to what the Family Interventions Project is trying to do. We're trying to get a pilot project going, and one thing we would want to do is in cases where the violence is not so – first of all, if the violence is severe, someone needs to go to jail. Okay, that needs to stop right away. But if it's not severe, we need to stop this nonsense. You see it all the time on the TV show Cops. Okay, I've been here 10 times. Don't make me come back again. We need to stop this. It's an enormous waste of public resources, these chronic domestic violence calls. Why not issue both parties, where it looks mutual, a ticket? Send them to us. We can use valid and reliable psychological measures. We can figure out the problem. If we can get these people into a program and they show progress, other states are doing this too, by the way, the criminal charges can be dropped. This is an enormous problem. We're making criminals out of regular people who – I have a lot of guys in my groups who have never done anything.
Because it used to be, traditionally, or I should say not traditionally, historically, you'd have a lot of cases where a woman was battered, and then by the time they got to court, she would drop the charges. And so that's why they can't be dropped.
Well, indeed, and they shouldn't be dropped because these laws were created for a darn good reason. We're in the spot now where the battered women's movement was 30 years ago, is that no one is listening to this problem. No one is trying to do anything about this problem of mutual common couple violence.
My guest is Ed Dunning. I got to stop you for a second. We've got to take a break. My guest is Ed Dunning with the Family Intervention Project. We're talking about his study that was released this week about the fact that there are many more men who are suffering physical abuse from their female partners than you would think. 808-0810 is the telephone number. KGO News Talk time is 10:26. KGO News Talk 810 Time. I'm Brian Copeland. With me on the KGO Live line is Ed Denning with the Family Intervention Project. We're talking about the groundbreaking study released this past week, which Ed is a co-author, that shows that many men suffer physical abuse from their female partners, and they have no place to go. The domestic violence system does not help them. 808-0810 is our telephone number. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Rick in Palo Alto. You're on KGO.
Hey, Brian.
Morning.
And Ed, how are you?
Good morning, Rick.
Yes, I was. I'm slowly learning that I'm not the only one, and it's nice. but I did go through several years of torture and physical and psychological abuse and control by my wife and now ex-wife, but now we're friends again now that we're separate. But I found it very difficult to find help. I didn't really get accused of being the aggressor. I just got sort of the deer in the headlights response when I called these domestic violence places, because they're all geared for helping women.
So what would they tell you when you called?
They just said, I don't know what to say. I'm so sorry you're going through that, and I don't know what to do because we're not set up to help you. And, you know, it's like, whoa. And every time I called, my wife would, you know, she was always interrogating me. Who did I talk to? Who did I see? Who did I, you know, in work? And when I told my call to try to get help, she would call the place and then make her like the bad person, and she would intervene and block me from getting any help. You know, it's like really scary for a while.
Let me ask Ed, you know, something that Rick says that they were telling him that we're not set up to help you. What I don't understand what would have to be different, or you know, what the setup would be that's different as opposed to a woman victim as opposed to a male victim. I mean, if you're a victim of domestic violence, you're a victim of domestic violence. What do they have to set up?
You frame my question exactly. What is the problem here? If a person's being victimized, they need help. If they call for help, you give them help. If someone would have listened to Rick and maybe did what I just suggested we're trying to do with this pilot project, interview both parties, see what's really going on, try to give them the tools to help them. I don't see how anyone could morally refuse such a request or refuse to help people when they're asking for help.
Now, a lot of these places have federal money, don't they?
Oh, yes. And state and county money. It all flows down from the VAWA funding. And what Rick is saying, I am still getting calls, and I have been, from local domestic violence shelters here in the greater Bay Area. These shelters are calling me, asking me what I can do to help these people. And I don't want to say this to them on the phone, but they have all the money. What am I supposed to do?
I guess what it is you are doing, which is bring awareness to the problem.
Well, it's a slow and painstakingly laborious project.
My guest is Ed Denning with the Family Intervention Project. We are talking about his study this week that men suffer physical abuse and the domestic violence system does not help them. 808-0810 is our telephone number. And now at 10:33, let's check in with Katie Lever and see what's happening in the world of news.
Good morning, Brian. Morning, everybody. This is an update from the KGO Radio Newsroom. 8 Iraqis have been killed by a car bomb in the mostly Shiite district of Baghdad. More than 24 others were hurt. Also today, gunmen opened fire on a minibus carrying civilians northeast of Baghdad, killing 7. President Bush's national security advisor says legislation introduced by House Democrats setting a deadline for withdrawal from Iraq would ensure failure and waste the sacrifice of U.S. troops. Stephen Hadley also calls the measure a charade because he says lawmakers know the president will veto it. A new poll in Israel suggests the country's Arabs and Jews are deeply divided. It finds 28% of Israeli Arabs believe the Holocaust never happened, while 63% of Jews say they avoid entering Arab towns and cities. The frustration lingers for would-be air travelers on the East Coast today. Some have been waiting for flights since Friday, when snow and rain and sleet caused widespread flight cancellations. Computer problems have compounded the problems in Philadelphia, where long lines formed at the ticket counters this morning. Back to the Bay, back to a look at traffic. Here's KGO's Chris Kidd.
Good morning again, Katie. An injury accident in Oakland, 80 weatherbound at 880. It's a solo vehicle spin out that's now in the center divide. injury accident, Cotati, Old Redwood Highway southbound at 101. Watch out for a stall, Richmond 80 westbound at El Portal Drive. It's a Camaro stalled on the right-hand shoulder. Another stall, Los Altos Hills, 280 southbound at Magdala Avenue. A minivan stopped in the slow lane. And Richmond, a road hazard, 580 eastbound before Marina Bay Parkway. A camper shell in lane one. It's hard to see, and it's on a blind curve, so watch out for that. No microwaves, no freezers, just 100% fresh ingredients cooked to order for quality you can taste. In-N-Out Burger, that's what a hamburger is all about. I'm Chris Kidd, KGO Radio News.
Thanks, Chris. KGO weather, sunny and mild. Temperatures in the 60s to low 70s. Right now in Napa, it's still a bit cloudy. It's 52. San Francisco, partly sunny, 55. San Jose, 56. And in Concord, it's 54. And on your radio, it's 810. News Talk 810. I'm Katie Lever, KGO Radio News.
KGO News Talk 810 time. I'm Brian Copeland here with you till 11 o'clock. With me on the KGO Live line is Ed Dunning with the Family Intervention Project. We're talking about the study that he co-authored that was released this week that shows that many men suffer physical abuse from female partners and the domestic violence system does nothing to help them. 808-0810 is telephone number. Before we go back to the phones, a couple of emails. Actually, you can send email two ways, by the way. Go to KGO.com or go to BrianCopeland.com. This one comes from Maggie, who says she'd like to, you to address, Ed, Wants to know what kind of reliable statistics you have as to what part alcohol and drugs play in this. She writes that in my educated experience working with drug abusers, some of these folks become veritable monsters, men and women alike, while under the influence. Seems to me we have a chicken, egg, and or cart before the horse here in dealing with all types of domestic violence. So what part, as far as your information tells you, do drugs and alcohol play?
An enormous part. I don't want to get into statistics and put your readers to sleep, but the problem is enormous. Because of this problem, we've recently made an affiliation with a nonprofit in the Sacramento area called Cornerstone Recovery, and they focus specifically on substance abuse. In my programs, I don't focus on substance abuse, but we have to talk about it because it's an enormous part of the problem. People under the influence behave in ways in which they would not if they were sober. And so that is one serious component of the problem that needs to be addressed.
All right, here's an email from Judith in Walnut Creek who says, Ed lost me when he said that there is usually mutual battering. Hogwash. I bet he has never been in a hotline position trying to contact women who fear for their lives. Women were the ones working for funding and awareness of the problem of battering. Where were the men? We needed their emotional and financial help. Then people like Ed cry foul and try to trivialize the issue. We had a saying back in the 70s, I can't see if the shoe is shined if it's standing on my head. All right, how do you respond to that? Because I know that, you know, this is typical of what I hear from some women when we try to do this, try to discuss this issue on the program.
Yes, it is typical, and I'm not going to take the bait here, because one thing we're trying to do is, I'm frankly bored with this arguments between men's rights and women's rights. It's been going on for 20 years, and it's boring. What I want to say to address this email person's specific concerns, she can log on to the website, SOSSandra, SANDRA.org. She founded the first domestic violence shelter of its kind here in Northern California. We're also working with Erin Pizzi in the UK, who founded the first battered women's shelter in the world. They have a lot to say on this subject, and I think it's better said by them than me.
All right, let's go back to the phones and talk to Dave in Auburn. You're on KGO with Ed Dunning and Brian Copeland. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I run the Men Against Violence Center in Auburn, California, and we run a program that gives men some resources to keep themselves safe and keep their families safe during these mutual combat situations.
So you're saying that you find it's mostly mutual, that there's a lot of mutual combat?
That seems to be the topic of the day. I just recently turned the phone on turned the radio on about 10 minutes ago. And it's how we handle this case is, and I'm not diminishing or dismissing men's violence against women. What I do know, though, is that most men are raised with a male role belief system that they can take it, be a little stronger, put that stuff aside. What we teach is men need to set boundaries in their lives. They're in an equal relationship of equality. The men need to understand that the abuse that they receive is not okay. And we teach the men here to keep themselves safe by setting boundaries, things that I'll allow in my life to where I'm happy, and things I won't allow in my life. And I have the equal right to assert those boundaries.
All right, let me stop you and see if Ed has anything to add to that.
I would very much like to hear from this person. He can email me. There's an email link on my website, familytx.org. It sounds like we should have a talk.
Well, what I'll do is we'll make sure that your website link is put on my page on the KGO website as well, so folks will be able to go there about an hour or so after the program and link directly to your site.
Great, because if I can directly address something the man said, was yes, this male as the protector, it's very, very common. I see this all the time in my groups. A lot of men were given the choice of having their wife arrested, and they declined. They took the rap because they did not want to see their wives arrested. There is a belief that we should be able to take it, and so if she goes off on us and starts slapping, hitting, screaming, we're supposed to just stand there and take it.
Okay, but by the same token, too, you know, there are, as we said, you know, there historically has been the problem of women who didn't want their husbands arrested either.
Indeed. And these are problems we need to solve, and that's why, again, I advocate we shouldn't be arresting anyone unless it's absolutely necessary. We should all be treated as free Americans in this great country and be given the opportunity to take care of our own family business in a private, confidential manner.
All right, let's talk to David in Sunnyvale. You're on KGO with Ed Dunning and Brian Copeland. Good morning.
I appreciate this very much. First of all, my wife was arrested and convicted three times of spousal abuse. We were married 2 months, and I realized what I was in for, but we were pregnant after we got married, and I wanted my son very much. I'm going to give the end first. Last summer, she's been gone now almost 4 years, he said, Dad, we were camping. You were a gentleman. You never hit back. You never cussed back in 10 years. You're my hero. You're my champion. You're a gentleman. But first time, I was also arrested twice. My boy was 8 days old. I was standing at the head of a stairway on second story house, and she flew into rage and tried to knee me in the groin. Well, I was afraid I was going to fall down the stairs, so I used two arms to protect my child, and I bent back to protect my privates, and I bonked her in the head. Well, I hit her nose. She called the police and said I broke her nose. She never had a mark in her body the whole time she was married to me. I jokingly said, if you send the police, you better send the Spaceship Enterprise, the paramedics, and the fire department. Well, Spaceship Enterprise never showed up. The paramedics and the fire department did. They looked at me, saw the claw marks on my arms, and said, did I need tension? I said, no, I put aftershave on it. And they said, oh, my God. A female cop, her first week in the beat by herself, showed up and said, get in the car. I said, but, get in the car. Well, I didn't know I could have called a supervisor or whatever. So on the way to jail, she said, how come you're not cussing or kicking? I said, I'm the victim. Well, my buddy was a probation officer, and he said, enroll yourself in a anti-violence class. And I did, and I ended up only going four times because after I was in jail for 5 days. Meantime, I missed a...
5 days? They put you in jail for 5 days?
Yes, and then they... I missed a... I missed between $1,000 and $2,000 in income for a Christmas art show. And anyway, luckily, my buddy is a probation officer, and he contacted the paramedics, and he contacted the fire department. I couldn't do anything. And by the time I was supposed to go to court, the I'd also been assigned to a female probation officer who was assured that I was an alcoholic. She wanted to give me an AA. I said, hey, lady, I'm a Baptist, you know. I may have one glass of beer a week or something, but that's it. And,
but basically, to make a long story short, the whole system looked at you as being the perpetrator.
Twice, I ended up in Elmwood.
In jail. Let me stop you and ask Ed: is this a story that you hear a lot?
All the time, for 8 years, constantly. It doesn't stop. And again, I wonder how this story would have been different if, at the very first domestic violence incident, both parties would have received the help they need. Now, in the course of a competent a psychologist or a therapist, it would come out as a natural consequence of the treatment that this man is claiming to be a pure victim. I don't know him, so I'm not denying his story. What I'm saying is, if we bring both parties to treatment, that will come out in the wash. It will come out in their stories.
I see.
And their lives, things might have been very different.
808-0810 is our phone number. Ed Dunning with the Family Intervention Project, our guest. We're talking about his just published study that shows that men suffer physical abuse from their female partners and the domestic violence system that is set up to deal with it in this country and in the state of California does not address their needs and their problems. 808-0810, if you want to get in here in the closing moments of my hour with Ed, KGO News Talk time is 10:48.
KGO News Talk 810 Time. I'm Brian Copeland here with Ed Dunning of the Family Intervention Project. We're talking about his just published study that shows that there are men who are physically abused by their female significant others, and the domestic violence system does nothing to help them when they reach out for help. 808-0810 is the phone number. Let's talk to Carrie in San Francisco. Welcome to KGO.
Hi. Yes. You know, if a man calls a battered women's shelter and they say they can't help, I think that's because they don't have beds arranged. Because what we need battered people shelters, so that with beds for both men and women, so that the person with the problem can get out of the house and get away and have a place to stay. And then what Ed is talking about, this training for both men and women, for both for the couple, for both of them, to deal with violence and to learn how to handle anger and all of this. Then this needs to be offered to everybody. But I think it looks like this needs to be seen as an equal gender problem in the same way that alcoholism and drug abuse are. And then I think it's important for somebody to get out of the house and leave. So then if they have a place to go at a battered people's shelter, and then people, in order to get back together again, then they should agree to have training to learn how to be partners.
Well, Ed, she's pretty much saying what it is that you're trying to do.
Yes, she's absolutely right on. This is why when we formed the Family Interventions Project, Joseph Ganaway, Sandra Roscoe Stapleton, and myself, we developed the gender-inclusive approach to domestic violence, which is precisely what your caller is talking about. I did 3 months in a shelter that housed men and women together. I know it can be done. Why isn't it being done?
Let's talk to Ruth and Davis. You're on KGO.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was calling. My brother was a victim of domestic violence by his ex-wife. She was, whoo, man. he's an easygoing guy. When they split up, she busted the windshield out of his truck. She kicked the side door into his truck. She stole his mail. She ripped the mailbox off the wall.
What did he do? So how did he respond to it?
Oh, he's Mr. Laid back, calm. You know, he ended up being ordered to anger management, of course.
He was ordered to anger management.
Oh yeah, of course. And his take on that was that it actually was very helpful to him. He learned ways to cope with her. And,
well, let me go to Ed and ask Ed. You know, what advice do you have for, you know, there are many men who are listening right now, who are in that situation. It is something that, according to your study, is underreported. You know, if there's a man is living in a situation like that, what should he do today?
Well, today he should start getting help.
Okay, how? Where?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, get help. All right, where?
Well, he should try his local domestic violence resources, and he should be insistent that this is federal money. This is our taxpayer money. It should be used to unite rather than divide families. It should be used to help all citizens instead of just a few.
If people would like to get in touch with the Family Intervention Project, how would they do that?
Well, they can log on to the website, familytxthomasxray.org. There's a spot on there to send email. I'd love to hear from people.
All right.
Because what we need to do is – go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say we'll put that up on the KGO website as well.
Great.
All right, Ed. Just a closing quick comment.
Well, this is an enormous problem. It's a problem nationwide. Maybe most of your listeners are familiar with the Duke lacrosse case. There we have pretty much unquestionable evidence that there was a rush to judgment. These men were blamed. Because they were men, it was easy to blame them. There was also a heavily tinge of racism. The prosecutor ought to be ashamed of himself. This is what is happening nationwide with taxpayer money. We're spending a lot of money to prosecute these phony baloney cases instead of stopping for 5 seconds and listening to the people and getting the actual story of what's going on.
Ed Dunning with the Family Intervention Project. I really appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
KGO News Talk time is 10:57. And that's going to do it for me. I'll check you out next Sunday. Just want to mention, I will be at Borders in Union Square Tuesday at 7, signing copies of my book and reading. And I will be at the Dean Lesher Center for the Arts, performing Not a Genuine Black Man, the 29th, 30th, and 31st. So tickets are available. Call 925-943-SHOW. This is KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland.
From ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. More calls for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to step down after the firings of those eight U.S. attorneys last year. You could see subpoenas coming this week for some top Bush administration officials as well over it, including political advisor Karl Rove. With the latest, we're live in Washington with ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Sherry, the Senate Judiciary Chairman Pat Leahy tells ABC's This Week he wants Rove and former White House counsel Harriet Myers before his committee.
I want testimony under oath. I am sick and tired of getting half-truths on this.
But it remains to be seen whether the White House will put up a fight. Since Rove is and Myers was among the president's closest advisors, the administration might try to block their testimony, citing executive privilege. Democrats and a growing number of Republicans want answers, saying prosecutors and politics shouldn't mix, Sherry.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy live in Washington. As we mark this week the four-year anniversary of the start of the Iraq War, we can tell you that eight U.S. service members have been killed this weekend in Iraq. We can also tell you that the new commander of U.S. forces, General David Petraeus, knows things must start changing quickly.
We are keenly aware that the Washington clock, if you will, and the London clock, these are moving more rapidly than the Baghdad clock.
General Petraeus in an interview on the BBC. What is it like for Iraqis in Baghdad? ABC's Terry McCarthy is there.
Violence today affects every sphere of life here. People cannot go shopping, take their kids to school, or pray in the mosque without weighing up the risks in advance. Iraqis are learning how to survive like this, but it is eating away their souls.
A car bomb in a Shiite district of Baghdad today left seven Iraqis dead, more than two dozen hurt. Yesterday, Pakistan was kicked out of the World Cup Cricket Championship, beaten by Ireland. After the match, angry Pakistani fans marched in the streets of Karachi and burned the players in effigy. Today,